بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا رسول الله رحمة الله للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back now to our explanation of Matan al-Akhdari, which is a basic introduction into the practices and opinions of the Maliki Madhab regarding certain acts of worship. An introductory book, if you will. We reach now a very important section, and that is on as-salah, prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna as-salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nisa, He says that indeed the prayers have been prescribed upon the believers at specific times. When Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as Amr ibn As and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and others, and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best action? Ayyu a'mal al-afdal? Qala as-salatu ala waqtiha. The best action is to pray on time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Imam Malik, he narrates, radiallahu anhu, from Nafi' through Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, that Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he wrote to those people who were administrators and working under his governance, Inna ahamma amrikum indi as-salah. The most important affair of yours, in my estimation, is prayer. فَمَنْ حَفِظَهَا. So whoever protects and guards the prayer. وَحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا. And looks after it earnestly. حَفِظَ دِينَ. Then that person has looked after his deen. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَهَا. فَهُوَ لِمَا سِوَاهَا أَضْيَعَ. And whoever, you know, neglects the prayer, then that person is lost, like that person is neglected. رَضِيَ anhu. So salah is very important, subhanallah. Sheikh Al-Amir in Al-Majmu', which is one of the really important texts in the Madhab, he says that, or maybe it's also Sheikh Hijazi, his the person who's explaining the Al-Majmu', he says that salah is one of the few acts that contains all of the actions of the malaika mentioned in the Qur'an. In fact, he said it is the only act. So standing, sujood, julus, dhikr, and so on and so forth. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It's common to see some people, especially the people of innovation, who state that the five daily prayers have no support. And oftentimes you find people like this, they say, you know, we just want it from Quran. When someone says, I only want evidence from the Quran, while that sounds important and wonderful, that is an indication that they are not thinking through the orthodox mainstream way of looking at Islam. The mainstream orthodox, especially if we're Sunni way of looking at Islam, is to recognize that there's more than the Quran as a source of law and guidance. So when someone says, I only want it from the Quran, they are either admitting to the fact that they don't understand Islamic law, or they are also admitting the fact that they do not see themselves as orthodox, mainstream, and so on and so forth. The second point is that oftentimes the Qur'an teaches us things implicitly because the Qur'an wants us to think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Right? The Qur'an in Surah Zukhruf, the Qur'an was sent so that you would use your mind. And oftentimes it uses metaphor, it uses implicit wording, it uses ambiguous wording even, that we have to refer to either the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the bayan of the Qur'an, or his companions. And that's the case here with the five prayers. I remember when I first wanted to become Muslim and I was reading the Qur'an in English, I was looking for like the how to pray chapter. And how many prayers are there? I thought there were like 10. Prayers or something, subhanAllah. And I couldn't find it, right? So oftentimes people, they get caught up in this, like, well, it's not explicitly found in the Quran. We talked about that earlier. And then if it is an ambiguous term or a term which is maybe like a metaphor or rhetoric, they also find themselves lost. And that's why we refer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the scholars. And that is the case with prayers. So if you go to Surah Isra, you find very beautifully in Surah Isra, verse number 78, Allah says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أقيم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Sayyidina Imam Malik, as mentioned by Ibn Nafi' in Al-Mabsut, which is one of the major books in the Madhab, one of the foundational books in the Madhab, which I believe is lost, but there are parts of it, you know, still around. In Al-Mabsut, he says that Sayyidina Imam Malik said that this verse is alluding to all five prayers. Duluk means to lean. So Duluk al-Shams means from Dhuhr to Asr. إِلَى غَسَقِ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ and then to إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ and to the time where the night begins to set in is referring to Maghrib and Isha. So there's four prayers. وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ and of course, Fajr is mentioned. So mashallah, in this verse, according to Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, and we know that Imam Malik very rarely takes a position by himself. So that means that his understanding is being supported by others. So when you find someone like Imam Malik taking a position, it's understood that that position has been subjected to peer review and that it is something that was widely held amongst the ulama who surrounded him, radiallahu anhu. So that's one. Another is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 17 and 18, he says, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ هِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ then praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and in the evening. When you arise in the morning and when you arrive to the evening, وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ So we find here as Imam At-Tattai was one of the great Maliki jurists, he said, فَتُمْسُونَ دَلَّ عَلَى الْمَغْرِبَ الْعِشَى Right? So at the time you arrive in the evening, it's talking about Maghrib and Isha. وَتُصْبِحُونَ is talking about Fajr. وَعَشِيًّا is talking about Asr. وَتُظْهِرُونَ is talking about Dhuhr. These are not opinions held by either of these great scholars in isolation. They're supported by others. I encourage you to look at, say, for example, the tafsir of Tabari, who mentions like so many people holding on to these opinions. But I just wanted to kind of touch on the fact that some people say, you know, there's no evidences in the Quran. When people say that, ask him, have you studied, for example, Ayatul Ahkam, all the legal verses of the Quran, around 365 verses? They haven't. So it's okay to check people and ask them, like, you know, be careful what you say, man. Be careful what you say. And we mentioned also the virtues of Salah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, that the best act you can do is pray on time. We ask Allah bil'afiyah, alhamdulillah. So Imam al-Akhdari, he says, Faslu fil awqat. Faslu. Fasl actually means a section. And we notice that the scholars, when they write books, they use abwab and fusul, bab and fasl, because paradise has abwab, gates, and fusul sections. So as one of my teachers told me years ago in Dar al-Ifta, when I was reading Taqrib al-Wusul of Imam Ibn Juzay to him, that this is done to remind us of Jannah, to remind the teacher to be sincere in teaching, to remind the student to be sincere, alhamdulillah, in seeking knowledge. فقال سيدنا إمام الأخدري نفعنا الله تعالى بعلمه في دارين أمين قال فصل في الأوقات Then he begins to talk about the times where prayer is like preferred, encouraged. And he uses the word al-mukhtar. The word mukhtar means you have a choice to delay it a little within that time period. By delaying it in that time period, you're not sinning. Then he talks about what's called Ad-durura. Ad-durura means that time for which if you delay it without a legitimate reason, you're falling into sin. This is important because we have a number of terms that need to be unpacked quickly. The first word is waqt al-ikhtiyari. Waqt al-ikhtiyari, the time where it's preferred, it's encouraged for you to pray at that time, and you have a little time to delay within that time. We'll talk about that in a second. Then ad-dururi means the time that if you delay it without a legitimate reason, I fall into sin. And then we have what's called al-qada'. And al-qada means that I prayed the prayer, I missed the prayer, so I'm praying it outside of its time. Khalas, waqt ikhtiyar, waqt daruri, and then qada. Two other terms that I need you to understand are al-ada. Al-ada means that I have prayed the prayer in its proper time. Al-iyada means that I prayed the prayer, but I discovered I did something wrong to the extent that I have to repeat the prayer. From the same word as Eid, because Eid returns, a'udu, I'm coming back. Al-iyada means I have to make up the prayer again. And then this word we talked about earlier, al-qada, means that I have, for whatever reason, missed a prayer's time, and I'm now praying it outside of its time. So al-ada and iyada are happening in the prayer's time. Al-qada is happening outside of the prayer's time. And within the time frame of prayers, you have ikhtiyari, dururi, and qada. Ikhtiyari means this is the preferred time to pray. For example, in Maghrib, the ikhtiyari is the time it takes me to make wudu and pray Maghrib. That time period, right, is what's called ikhtiyari. After that is dururi, meaning if I delay it without a reason, right, without a legitimate reason, then I am sinning. And then qada would mean if I woke up after Fajr and realized, man, I did not pray Maghrib. So I pray it after Fajr prayer. I know what you're thinking right now, so we're going to get to it in a minute. So it's very important to know that we have al-ada, i'ada, and qada. In the Maliki Madhab, let me just explain this as simply as I can. Al-ada for dhuhr is till Maghrib. And the ikhtiyar is the time we're going to talk about where it's recommended for me to pray. But I have, even if for some reason, some legitimate reason, I missed dhuhr in dhuhr's time, a legitimate reason. Say, for example, I was stuck in traffic, I was in surgery, I was kept in an exam and I couldn't get out of it. Something of that nature. And I prayed dhuhr in asr time in the Maliki Madhab. This is still called ada. The reward is, of course, going to be less than someone who prays it in his proper time. There's a discussion about this. But if I delay dhuhr to asr time for no reason, it's still ada, but I'm sinful. I'm sinful. Maghrib and Isha. I can pray Maghrib, right, as we know, up until the time of the red is out of the sky. And then also it is dururi from that point on, meaning I can actually, for some reason, legitimate reason, I miss Maghrib, then I have till Fajr to pray in Maghrib. And this is still called ada. So the ada of dhuhr is going to be from dhuhr to Maghrib, if there's a legitimate reason to delay it into Asr. The ada of Maghrib is going to be till Fajr, if I have a legitimate reason, of course, to delay it, then I'm not sinful. If I don't have a legitimate reason, both are still ada, but I'm sinful. And if I pray either dhuhr or Maghrib outside of, say, I pray dhuhr after the time Maghrib has come in, this is qada. If I pray Maghrib at the time that Fajr has come in, or Isha at the time that Fajr has come in, this is also qada. So these are very important things that I want to explain, because people sometimes get confused in reading the text. That number one, ada, is that I am observing the prayer either in its ikhtiyar time or its dururi time. Qada is that I'm outside of it. Dururi, if I have a legitimate reason, I'm not sinful. If I don't have a legitimate reason, I'm sinful. It's very simple. Ada in the Maliki Madhab is to pray in the ikhtiyar time, which I should do, and the dururi time, if there has been some kind of accident or strange circumstance that compelled me to delay the prayer. If not, then I'm sinful, but it's still ada. And qada is to pray any of those prayers outside of their ikhtiyar time or their dururi time. Khalas, yani. So the sheikh, he says, al-waqt al-mukhtar, the preferred time for dhuhr, lidhuhri, min zawali shamsi ila akhiri al-qama. He said that the time of Zuhur, which is Mukhtar, which is recommended, is from the zenith till the time that your shadow is equal to yourself. Of course, nowadays you don't have to worry about this. You rely on the masajid, you rely on your imams, you rely on the fiqh councils, as you should. You have apps as you should. والمختار للعصر من القامة إلى الإصفرار وضروريهما إلى الغروب. Now you see something. So he says, والمختار للعصر, and the preferred time of عصر is from the time that your shadow is equal to your length, إلى الإصفرار وضروريهما إلى الغروب. So the preferred time of Asr is when your shadow is equal to your body. So that means that there's this interesting discussion within the madhab. Do Asr and Dhuhr share a time together? So like if the adhan of Asr was called and your shadow was the same length as your body and you pray Dhuhr, according to most scholars of the madhab, it will be accepted. Although this is not a good thing to do, but it will be accepted. Some others say, no, the inverse happens. You're allowed to pray Asr at the time of Dhuhr. So when if you've already prayed Dhuhr and then you see that your shadow is equal to your body and you need to pray Asr for whatever reason, you can pray Asr immediately at that moment. It's called Waqt Ishtirak. There's a shared time. I don't want to talk about this too much now. In the future, we'll talk about it in other texts, especially when we get into the Risala of Imam Ibn Abi Zayd. But just FYI a little bit, it's sort of interesting, mashallah. But the important thing, وَالْمُخْتَارُ لِلْعَصْرِ مِنْ قَامَةِ إِلَى الْإِسْفِرَارِ, that the preferred time of Asr, excuse me, is when your shadow is equal to your body in length until you start to see the yellowness in the sky, or this orangeness in the sky. وَضُرُورِيُّهُمَا, and the word durura is translated as necessity. Darura. The word actually is from dar, darara, which means harm. So the idea here is that if I don't pray them, I'm putting myself in potential harm. The azab and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَضُرُورُهُمَا, and the time that you have to pray them both is إِلَى الْغُرُوبِ. إلى الغروب. So with Dhuhr, the Dururi starts at the time of Asr. With Asr, the Dururi starts at the time of Isfirar. So for whatever reason, if someone had to delay Dhuhr for a legitimate reason, right? Say, you're best at judging this, a hajj, an overarching need. Someone asked me, said they're watching their children, 3 or 4 children, and they just can't find a moment's rest for whatever situation. Definitely that applies to that situation. If you're out somewhere with a child and you can't pray because you're not going to be able to keep your eye on that child, that's an example of a hajj, as mentioned by Al-Ashhab and others. With the condition that this doesn't happen regularly, it should not become a habit. Also, you find this kind of discussion in the Hanbali madhab in a different way, but the same idea of a hajj allows a person to join the prayers as long as it's not done out of dawam. So the dururi yuhuma ila al-ghurub. So for Dhuhr, once Asr kicks in, this is dururi, still ada, until the ghurub, and until the sun sets. And in Asr, from the time that the sky now is starting to turn orange and yellow, isfirar, literally means like a yellowish orange or yellow, till the setting of the sun. This is the waqt dururi for Asr. You see that, mashallah. وَالْمُخْتَارُ لِلْمَغْرِبِ قَدَرُ مَا تُصَلَّ فِيهِ بَعْدَ شُرُوطِهَا. Allahu Akbar. And he says the preferred time to pray Maghrib is the time it takes someone to pray and to observe the shurut of Maghrib. What are the shurut of Maghrib here? Like, for example, the wudu, locating the direction of the qibla, and so on and so forth. That is waqtul muqtar. Wal muqtaru lil isha'i min maghrib ash-shafaq. And ash-shafaq al-humra, as explained to me, Sheikh Rayan, ash-shafaq means the red in the sky. So when that red in the sky follows the sunset, disappears, it's the time of isha. Ila thuluth al-layl al-awwal, until the first third of the night. And this is based on the hadith I mentioned earlier of Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab in the Muwatta, where he tells people to pray Isha until the first third of the night, right? Like that's meaning do not pray after that, but that's the time that's mukhtar. That's the time that's preferred. وَضُرُورِيُّهُمَا إِلَى طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ. And the time of necessity for Maghrib and Isha is till Fajr. right? Till sunrise, till daybreak. وهذا مهم جدا يعني. وهذا باب عظيم في الحقيقة. It's like a really important chapter. A lot of things come out of it. And اللهم يسر لنا حتى نشرحه شرحا جيدا يعني. So he says, وضروريهما إلى طلوع الفجر. That the necessity, the time of necessity for Maghrib is going to start, right? Is going to start after the time it took you to pray Maghrib and observe the conditions for praying Maghrib. And the time of necessity for Isha is after the first third of the night. To delay beyond that without a legitimate reason, not a necessity, but a haja. As Sayyidina Imam Al-Haramain, I believe in Al-Burhan, talks about that the Mufti doesn't wait for people to fall in necessity and then reacts, but he or she is proactive in protecting people from falling into necessity, obviously. So without there being like a legitimate need, Al-Haja, or Al-Durura, then the person is sinful. We ask Allah Ta'ala bil-afiyah. Then he says, والقضاء في الجميع والمختار للصبح من الفجر إلى الإسفار الأعلى. And that the preferred time of Fajr is إلى الإسفار الأعلى. What that means is that the twilight starts to set in. In the Maliki Madhab, it is commendable to pray Fajr when it's still dark in the sky, but you can see the long light of dawn on the horizon, which is called Al-Fajr As-Sadiq. Not like partial light, but the entire like line is across the horizon. This is based on the hadith found in the Muwatta of Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, who says that, you know, the women were not known, right, in the time of Subh, in the time of Fajr. I'm just saying it to make it easier for people. In the time of Subh, because of the darkness. It's different than the Hanafi Madhab, who contends to pray later. No problem, alhamdulillah. He says, وَالْمُخْتَارُ لِلصُّبْحِ. And the word Subh here, I want you to understand, I'm going to use it moving forward, is Fajr. Fajr has a different meaning in the Madhab. But just because I know many people have learned different terminology, just to make it simple. وَالْمُخْتَارُ لِلصُّبْحِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ إِلَى الْإِسْفَارِ الْأَعْلَى. نعم. وَضُرُورِيُهُ إِلَى طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. So after that time, after you see, you know, that kind of twilight across the sky, from that time onward is ضروري, until the sun rises. Then the Shaykh, he says, وَالْقَضَاءُ فِي الْجَمِيعِ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. And everything outside of those times, to pray Maghrib outside of its مُخْتَار time, or its ضروري time, that will be قَضَاء. To pray Isha outside of its time, which is preferred, or its necessary time, where I would be sinful if I don't have a legitimate reason to delay it, is قَضَاء. خَلَاص. To pray Fajr after sun rises is qada. So he says, wal jami'u ma wara'a dhalik. Then he says, rahimahullah, wa man akhara as-salata hatta kharaja waqtaha fa 'alayhi dhanbun 'azim illa an yakuna nasiyan aw na'iman. Now the Shaykh, he starts to give examples of what would allow someone potentially to delay the salah into the ضروري time. Because maybe someone reads, it's like, oh, I can pray here, I can pray there, I can do whatever I want. La la, that's not what he's saying. Whoever delays the prayer to the ضروري time without an excuse is sinful. So he says, وَمَنْ أَخَّرَ, who delays the prayer, الصَّلَاةَ مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ مَنْصُوبُ الْفَتْحِ حَتَّى خَرَجَ وَقْتَهَا. Whoever delays the prayer until its time goes out. فَعَلَيْهِ ذَنْبٌ عَظِيمٌ. Then that person has committed an egregious sin. إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ نَاسِئًا أَوْ نَائِمًا. Unless that person was sleeping or that person forgot. So here he's given some examples of where people are excused. Or the person is sick. Or the person, of course, is traveling. As we know, that's a different story. They have ruqsa. Or the person is being compulsed. Like, for example, I know some converts. I remember when I first embraced Islam, I couldn't pray my prayers all on time because it was a lot of pressure in my house. And I wasn't in a financial situation to survive on my own. And the Muslim community wasn't going to help me at that time. I didn't expect them to help me also, but they weren't in a position to help me. So I had to sometimes join prayers and make moves. So sometimes there are reasons where a person, as the Prophet said, Rufian ummati an-nisyan wa masukru ali. The hadith read by Sayyidina Imam Tabarani, that my ummah is forgiven for forgetfulness or being forced to do something. وَلَوْ تُصَلَّ نَافِلَةٌ بَعْدَ الصَّلَةِ صُبْحِ إِلَى ارْتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ. And someone should not pray nafil. He didn't say fard. Nafil. After the subh, prayer until the sun rises. Can someone pray qadha at that time? There's a few opinions, but the strong answer is yes. He said nafila. He didn't say qadha. وبعد الصلاة العصر إلى صلاة المغرب أي لا تصلى بعد صلاة العصر نافلة إلى صلاة المغرب. Someone should not pray any nafil prayers after عصر until مغرب. وبعد طلوع الفجر إلى الورد للنائم عنه وعند جلوس إمام الجمعة على المنبر وبعد الجمعة حتى يخرج من المسجد. And then he says that someone also should not pray nafila once the imam has sat on the minbar. So said assalamu alaykum rahmatullah and then sits. This is the mashhur in the madhhab. There's a big discussion about this within the madhhab because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who asked the person, did you pray? He said no. He said qum fasalli. Stand and pray. وهذا أمر. القاري أبو بكر بن عربي said هذا النص يعني. وبعد الجمعة حتى يخرج من المسجد. And someone should not pray nafila after Jum'ah until they exit the masjid. Although within the madhab, there's a lot of discussion about this. And that is number one, it is talking about, some said just the imam. As mentioned by Sayyidina Imam al-Baji. In al-Muntaqa. Imam al-Qarafi, he has a different opinion. He said, you know, this is in a dhakhira, this is talking about somebody who doesn't plan like to stay in the masjid. They're going to leave. So if they leave, they should. This is based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet radiallahu anhuma, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca after Jum'ah, he prayed the sunnah prayers after Jum'ah, and that in Medina he would go home. He was the imam sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, especially here in the United States, nobody's going home. Most people are going back to work, and perhaps by the time they get back to work, they won't have prayed. Whatever will happen will keep them from the nawafil, those extra sunnah prayers. So alhamdulillah, if they need to pray in the masjid, they can pray in the masjid. Wa billahi tawfiq wa nas'aluhu subhanahu wa ta'ala at-taysir. Because of the hadith, the authentic hadith from Abu Dharr, at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and at Sayyidina Abi Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا يَزَالُ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ حَتَّى مِنَ النَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. That a person will continue to perform extra acts of good, the nawafil, until it brings about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, yani the person who can't go home and may not be able to pray at work, they can pray inshaAllah ta'ala the sunnah prayers in the masjid. وَبِاللَّهِ تَوْفِيقٍ. Another question that comes up is people say, what if I, like, for 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, 3 years, didn't pray? And then I came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should I do? You should do your best to make up those prayers. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an authentic hadith from Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very nicely, مَن نَسِيَ صَلَاةً فَلْيُصَلِّيهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا لا كفارة لها إلا ذلك. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, من نسي صلاة فليصليها إذا ذكرها لا كفارة لها إلا ذلك. The hadith of Sayyidina Anas, that whoever forgets to pray, when they remember, they should pray. Because there is no expiation except that they perform that prayer. I encourage people, instead of praying the sunnah, just pray the fard. Do you have to make them up all at once? No. Can make them up over time. During Taraweeh, you can just continue to make the intention to pray the sunnah, the fajr, that the subh that you missed before over the previous years. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you and bless you, inshallah ta'ala. Another question that people ask me, especially those who became Muslim, is, Are they responsible for making up the prayers they missed when they weren't Muslim? MashaAllah, look at how good some people are, man. Am I responsible for making up the prayers I missed when I wasn't Muslim? Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Islam expiates what came before it. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So no, you don't have to make up all those prayers. Next time, insha'Allahu ta'ala, we're going to talk about the conditions of prayer. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu wasallam ala sayyidina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.